Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Lee McQueen, Jamie Brand and Chris Carlin. We're going to have a good show tonight. No Ricky Sachs, no Twitter, no transfers.
There'll be loads of transfers. We've still got Jamie in the house.
Still got Jamie. I thought we could have a night off. The transfer window, the European transfer window has closed. We're talking strictly football, even though it is the international break. Has that come at the right time? Of course, tonight we're going to be talking all about the North London derby. Are they pleased that it is the international break? How was August for Spurs? We're going to be looking at the Champions League squad. The third kit has launched. But of course, tonight we have to start with the weekend's North London derby, and what a derby it was. 2-2 at the Emirates, a brilliant game. Also, we want your view, so you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio and call us on 0208 70 20 558. Let's start then. We have to start with a massive game on the weekend, 2-2. Firstly, was it 2 points dropped or 1 point gained? Lee, I'll start with you.
Well, I think good evening, everybody.
Hello, boys. How are you? Happy birthday to Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. Yeah, do you get me, Chez? Tottenham Hotspur Football Club today, 137 years old. And what an amazing journey it's been. And coming back to North London derby, that was a bit of a journey as well, wasn't it? Said it was going to be a little bit of a basketball match. You have a shot, we have a shot. Kind of turned out that way. I think my prediction was stupidly 0-0. And it went 2-2. So to answer your question, I think in the context of the actual game, if you'd have offered me a 2-2 before the game, I'd have taken it, if I'm honest. To go away to the Emirates and to the Etihad in the space of 2 weeks and get 2 points or not lose, I think it's a good start for Spurs. Having said that, the context of the game went 2-0 up. And you're thinking, hang on a minute. I mean, we're creating a lot of chances here. So, I mean, Leno's pushing them all out. He couldn't catch the ball. Lots of good saves. Son scored, you know. And you're thinking, well, we could have him here. And then, my word, Danny Rose, Davinson Sanchez, just comical at the back of errors. And, you know, and Arsenal get back in it. So, in the context of the game, I think it's 2 points dropped, to be honest.
Well, 2 points drop. We know that football never works out quite how we predict it. Lee said if he was told that it would have been 2-2, he would have taken it. But in the context of the game, he's not happy that it was 2-2. Yeah. Chris, we haven't spoke to you for a while. Was it 2 points drop for you as well when it was away from home?
Definitely. The fact that you go 2-0 up at your North London rivals, you know, Arsenal, no matter what we all say about our rivals, they're a big club. And when you go 2-0 up like that, you should win the game away from home.
For sure.
And
I think that's against anyone, though, isn't it,
against
Chris?
Anyone.
If you're 2-0, forget that it's your rivals or Big Six, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
If you're 2-0 up in a football game, what Spurs want to achieve this season have to be holding on from 2-0, don't they?
But the amount of Arsenal fans I spoke to before the game, every Arsenal fan were expecting to be cruising, to win the game very, very comfortably. A lot of Tottenham fans who I spoke to, they would have taken a draw before the game. But the fact that you go 2-0 up there, Pochettino needs to just say, look, we're 2-0 up, close the shop, and, you know, 10 men behind the ball. I don't like Tottenham playing boring football, and I've been brought up with this entertaining football that Tottenham Hotspur play, but sometimes you just need to kill the game and just get the 3 points. And I felt really disappointed. It felt like a loss to me.
Well, it might have felt like a loss, Jamie. It was 2 points drop. It was a point at the Emirates. Where do you stand on it?
Yeah, for sure. It was, as the guy said, I think it definitely was 2 points dropped. It feels for me as though Arsenal were kind of there for the taking. I think defensively, they were kind of all over the shop, and you saw we were really getting in behind them when we were having chances. I think in attack, they weren't great, because even defensively, we were so poor, but still, they weren't really creating much. So I think on our day, Spurs would have beaten them. And I think it's a big miss to have so many players out. I think we didn't have, you know, Dele Alli wasn't starting. You know, didn't have Lucas Moura featuring. Ryan Sessegnon injured. Dembélé. So I think there was a lot of players missing. So on our day, I think that was a game that Spurs would have won and seen out. So, I'm disappointed in the end.
Ricky Sachs said last week, going in...
Ricky!
He said, going into this derby, he said, the one thing Spurs have to do, we have to start fast. Spurs did that. They got that goal. It was a little bit of 5-6 minutes pressure from Arsenal to start that game, but they soaked up. They went 1-0 up. They went 2-0 up. And from that moment on, you knew that Arsenal were going to attack and try to get back in the game. But almost, instead of killing the game off, what you said, Chris, Spurs seemed to me like they took their foot off the pedal. Was that truly?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think the thing that really frustrated me the most is conceding a stroke half-time. And then Kane hitting the post straight after that as well.
Could have been so different.
100%. And you know that by conceding in the manner we did, I mean, I don't know if it was a Cruyff turn what Sanchez was trying to do, he was just faffing about with the ball as normal, halfway in his own area, as normal as the most Spurs defenders do now. And it allowed that free kick to happen. Sissoko gave away because Sanchez gave the ball away. It's a series of plays. So, you know, the free kick comes in. Lloris does pretty well, actually, to get it out of the way of the box and clear the danger. And then what are we doing, Danny Rose? I'm sorry, I'm not having it. You are a world-class left-back, two seasons ago, three seasons ago, as my stats will tell you, right when I think, and a bit later on. And he's got this ball, and all you're thinking, clear it. Clear it.
You could just tell.
He just knew. He just walked into Guendouzi, and now big old hair fella. He just rocks up and went, "Oh yeah, I'll take that, thanks."
I think they panicked, didn't they? They panicked really, because I think there was a massive shouts of handball, and you could just tell from that moment on they were really going to panic.
You just knew that it was going to go, and that for me, so it was the manner in which we, we conceded that goal. Because look, don't get me wrong, I think Lacazette, and I've said this on the show many times. I know it's a Spurs fan show, but I think Lacazette and Aubameyang are class. I do think they're a class out. They score a lot of goals, and they were the thorn in our side again last weekend, both of them. Yeah. And it was a good finish, right? He had to jink around whatever, but it was just panic. It was like pinball at some stage. You think
they were definitely the two key moments, though, Lee. If Tottenham would have went in at half-time 2-0,
I think we win the game.
Or Harry Kane's shot against the post would have gone in. We'd have definitely gone on to win the game.
What do you think the half-time team talk was? Because they always say it's the worst time to concede a goal is on the stroke of half-time. But I also felt that Tottenham conceding that goal could play into Tottenham's hands, in a sense that Arsenal have to still chase the game. They have to attack, which is going to make them very open at the back. You know, when Spurs counter, you know, they're one of the best counter-attacking teams. That could play into Spurs' hands a little bit, but it never really quite happened that way, did it?
Well, the first half, we could have killed the game off. And Pochettino kept pointing and shouting to the team, saying the space, because the amount of space and the creativity in the first half from Tottenham, I thought, was very, very good. And that's probably why I felt so disappointed, because it was a very, very good first half from Spurs, particularly against Arsenal.
Mm. Well, it was a good first half. We was wondering, you know, Spurs have maybe had a slow start to the Premier League season, haven't looked their best of late, but they did start fantastic in that 45 minutes, but they just couldn't keep it up for that 90 minutes, could they, Jamie?
I think one thing that Spurs had a lot of success with was on the counter, as you said. Now, one substitution that I was thought was going to happen, it just felt really odd that Moura didn't come on. You know, it seemed like the perfect opportunity. Yeah. You know, he's proved that he's so great on the counter with his pace. He did that against City in the Champions League last year. So it
done
was
it against
really...
City this year, 19
exactly,
seconds.
Exactly. So it was odd that, you know, he didn't. He was kind of like the obvious substitute to bring on. So I was disappointed that wasn't something that Pochettino did during the game.
Moura only scores against big clubs.
Nice.
10 minutes in and we got the first dig. There we are. Still an hour and 50 minutes to go. Link,
just coming back to that, and the lads make a really good point. I mean, I think the other thing for me as well is that, you know, when you look at, and that was the Audi Cup or whatever, but when you look at our pre-season, you look at how we were setting up, Moura was playing, or Lucas was playing, and he was pressing from the front. Yeah. And we were saying before, I was with a good friend of mine, Lance, and a client actually of mine today in the city. Was just chatting about Spurs. He's a Spurs fan as well, and he was sort of saying, what's happened to the high press? And I just wanted to throw it out there to the listeners as well, 0208 70 20 558, if you want to get in touch and talk to us about that as well. But, you know, lads, is it Harry Kane's ankles?
That's what I was thinking.
Because he didn't seem like he was, do you know what I mean, run it like high press. And I think if you nick the ball high, especially against Arsenal, how high their back line was, I mean, you're in all day long.
Do you think that Harry Kane is actually suffering worse from the injuries he's had? Because his mobility is a bit of an issue since he's come back. Is that what you're saying then, Lee?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I definitely do think that's the case. I think, you know, he's had such a tough year. He's had two major ankle injuries. Mm. So he does have to be careful. I think a lot of, we said on the show,
he's played a lot of games as well. For England and
but he loves
for the last 2 years.
I know. He loves that. And the one thing for me, I think, is missing is the service to him.
I'm with that. I think with that. I mean, on Sunday was the first time
my favourite front four that I famously come on last week and has been banging on about the whole time, like best front four in the Premier League. It was the first time that they was on the pitch together since, I think, what you pointed out, Jamie, to Everton. Yeah, well, it's true, though, because Dele's been injured. Kane was injured twice with his ankles last season.
Yeah.
Then Eriksen's been the man that's kind of, you know, been in the side the whole time. You've had Son that's been basically jetting around the entire world last year with all the different things that he's been doing. I think the last time them four played the full game together, I don't remember. I think it was Everton when we smashed them 6-2.
Exactly, Lee. And like you said about pre-season, it's not really a proper pre-season with our preferred first 11.
Yeah,
because it's never like that. Players are injured, players are out, players like Danny Rose stayed at home.
Yeah.
It's
Davinson didn't go.
It's a very, very funny start to the Premier League season, and as we saw in the Aston Villa game, very slow start in the first half. I know we turned it around through our quality, but they didn't get enough pre-season together, in my opinion.
For sure, and I mean, it was quite interesting. Is Tottenham have now dropped 42 points from winning positions in the Premier League against Arsenal. That's 11 more than any other against any other side in the competition. How concerning is that stat from a mentality perspective? I mean, we're getting rinsed basically by Arsenal.
I think we're starting to learn. I think after that Champions League game, the Champions League run, we kind of learned how to play again. You know, to go to these massive clubs and grind out a result. I think we did that against Manchester City, where we were, you know, we're under so much pressure, and we managed to keep them out. So I think we're starting to learn how to do it in different, in different games when we're going to the big clubs. It's something that does concern me a bit. That, you know, I felt as though there was a lack of belief as well on the weekend, maybe in some.
Interesting as well. And the other thing as well for me is the defence. I've got some stats later when we come on to talking about kind of Spurs and how we've changed and all that sort of stuff. I do love a stat, but when you look at the defensive side of the game, I raised this I think last week as well. I just want your thoughts on it, especially you, Chris, because we ain't spoken to you for a bit. But are we coaching? Are we actually doing set plays on the field? I mean, you look at the Newcastle goals, horrific.
It's so different,
isn't it? Like, what is happening here?
Well, you go back a couple of years, you had Kyle Walker and Danny Rose, and whenever one of them would go down the wing, you would almost guarantee that a goal was going to be scored because the speed, the assist, they were absolutely fantastic. It's very, very different now. Danny Rose, we've got a Danny Rose of, I don't know, 10 years ago. He's not the Danny Rose that we know. Kyle Walker-Peters, as much as I like him, young player, he's not good enough, is he?
No.
You're not going to win the Premier League with him in the team, are you?
It's a difficult one because he is one of our own, and I champion that whole War Talent piece and John Lillywhite Rose and doing all them I love the academy players, but in order to give them a chance, you have to give them games.
Perhaps in the future, but not now.
But right now,
I think inadvertently he's been forced into the lineup, really. Peters, because, you know, Foyt, I think he was the guy that Pochettino wanted to come into the team as the right back. I think, it has been difficult with Nova Tongan, so Davinson Sanchez has been there. Danny Rose just hasn't quite been the same player, you know, since he was 3 years ago. So, it's been difficult.
Well, it's interesting, lads, as well, because I have been doing my research, and I'm glad that we brought this up. But here's the thing: I just want to quickly run through. So, arguably, certainly under Pochettino, and certainly under over the last 10, well, in Premier League history, let's put it that way, it is our best season in terms of a Premier League season. 2016-2017, when we was totally in the title hunt against Chelsea, we got 86 points. Lost obviously a title against 93 points. But some stats around that season, you have to look at that as a benchmark. And that was the season we finished second. We had the best defence in the Premier League. We only let in 26 goals during the entire season in the Premier League, which I thought was incredible. We scored the most goals. Could not make that up. We scored the most goals, 86. We had the best goal difference, as you'd imagine, of plus 60 that season. We had 17 clean sheets during that period of time. And our goals to games ratios are about 2.26. Now, when you compare that to this, not this season, because we've only had four games, but last season, for example, our goals to game ratio has gone down by to 1.76 against 2.26. Our shots have gone down. Our goals have gone up. So we conceded 0.68 goals per game in that season. Last season, over a goal a game. So what's happened? You can see the shift, right, from the stats is that we've had less attacking options and worse defensive options.
But Lee, I know you're talking about league, last year we got in the Champions League final.
For sure. I am only talking about the league, to be fair.
And I think a lot of the fans forgot about silly losses or whatever, because the road to the Champions League final, we had a terrific time, had some fantastic nights, Ajax away, Man City away, etc. When you get those sorts of results at those stadiums and winning against them teams, the loss at Bournemouth, for example, is very easily forgotten because of that.
But I think it only happens because of the Champions League, to be honest.
Maybe it does, but I was going to spin this and put this into a positive, because actually a lot of the listeners now will be thinking, oh, blimey, Lee, them stats are horrific, blah, blah, blah. We got a mediocre amount of points last season. I don't even remember. It was 71, wasn't it? Right, 71. We got 86 the season I'm talking about. We still clip 13 clean sheets, right? It's fine margins. It's literally the amount of chopping and changing we had in defence. I kept saying it last season, didn't I? How many times have I come on here? Three different goalkeepers, formation changes at the back. And we had no stability in that defensive unit, and that's what's cost us. You know, we let in more goals and we had more less chances and so on and so forth, but it's only a tweak and a coach and a tune, and all of a sudden we're back up there. It's nothing really to do with £80 million players. It's to do with just tweaking what we've already got to a certain degree.
Well, Lee's mentioned the stats there. We're going to give Stato a minute off there to catch his breath and before we can come back and work out what is going wrong with Spurs. Love Sport. You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Lee McQueen, Jamie Brand and Chris Cowling. We are talking everything about Spurs. We're still looking at that big North London derby game on the weekend. We looked at the result. Was it 2 points drop? Was it 1 point? Were they happy with that? Now, though, let's look at the actual incidents from the game. Let's start with a goal, because the European transfer window is over. It's finally finished. Ricky can relax. Christian Eriksen is still a Spurs player. I said last week on the show he will still be a Spurs player. He has stayed. He got the opening goal. Are you pleased he's back in the team, scoring, playing well? Because the manager has said this has been his worst time at Spurs. Yeah. This hanging over him, it's almost hindered him, hasn't it? He just can't seem to escape it.
Well, making that much fuss over one player, you know, that shows how highly he regards Christian Eriksen. Look, and if the whole situation was totally in his control, he'd have had Christian Eriksen signed down to a long-term contract and made a pivotal part of his team. And I know, you know, there's still so many supporters that still get on Eriksen's back, and it's ridiculous. He was fantastic. I thought he was fantastic on the weekend. I think he was our star man. And hopefully now, once the window is now shut, you know, he can start getting regular game time. And you know, obviously it's difficult, the circumstances that he's still here, given his contract situation, but, you know, I think it's just a case of trying to enjoy him now.
Is it worrying, Chris, that the manager said this has been his worst time, and that the situation really, it's not over, like, because we get to January and then we're going to have the same thing. He can start talking to other clubs and we'll still have months of a saga. Will he sign? Won't he sign a new contract? And it sort of still goes on even though the window's closed.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that Pochettino comes out and says things in press conferences. I don't like that at all from a Tottenham fan point of view. You do not want to see or hear your manager say things like that. But regarding Christian Eriksen, he's one.
Would you prefer him then to be private, or do you not appreciate the fact that it's just open and honest, and he's giving you that insight into what he's thinking?
The thing with Pochettino, I love him. I think he's a great manager, but sometimes he gives you a little bit, and a lot of the time he doesn't. And you've either got to say it all or don't say anything. And the fact that he says this is his unhappiest time, you know, a couple of months after being in a Champions League final, and he also said as well, if Tottenham won the Champions League final, he high chances he wouldn't even be manager now. I don't like comments like that.
Can I just interact with you there, Chris? Because when he come out and said that bit, oh, I might not be the manager after, isn't that a lack of ambition? Utter lack of ambition. Like, you win the Champions League.
I don't think so, Lee.
No, hang on. From him I'm talking about. He's going on. He's saying, if I win the Champions League, I may as well quit. But hang on a minute. What happens about the Premier League? And what happens about another Premier League? And
what happens about retaining the Champions League, defending it? I do agree with you. I understand what you mean.
It's a little bit like he talks so much about big prizes and ambition, and then he come out to say that, and I thought, isn't that a bit of a contradiction in what his beliefs are?
I get what he said, because if you've won the Champions League with a club that didn't spend a penny in 500 days, he would go down as a remarkable manager in football history. Not just Tottenham, football history.
No,
I get it.
Yeah, I understand that, but Claudio Ranieri won a 5,000-1 shot with the Leicester, and he might go down in history as the best, but he's not like the best manager in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like, his ambition to be the best manager in the world, just because you win, which actually, by the way, is a cup competition, yeah, doesn't necessarily mean that you're the best manager in the world. And I just thought that, could you imagine Pep saying that?
I think me, what was more worrying when he said that, I thought, it's not the lack of ambition, I thought, but if he has a long-term vision of the club, was he happy just to give it up with one of the Champions League?
That's what
surely he must have laid foundation, plans in place, and with a win like that, albeit the most prestigious win, surely wants to see those through and carry on for the next generation. That was what was strange to me, Chris.
But the thing, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it kind of feels like we're starting again. You know, this is
Tottenham 2.0.
This is sixth season in charge, and by this point, you know, especially when we're in the Champions League and all of that, I can't speak highly about last season, about Champions League final, but the stadium we've got, the training ground facilities, the fantastic manager, you know, the great players we've got, this summer or the summer just gone was the time to really invest, and this was the time to do it.
Do you think we were going to do it all in one window? I think that's one thing I've said. I think we've done a great job in starting the rebuild, but I didn't think it was all going to be done in one window,
realistically. Jamie, after the Aston Villa game, Harry Kane was saying, really important to get the 3 points. We've got to keep up with Manchester City and Liverpool. Fighting talk on the opening day of the season from Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Love to see that.
Yeah.
Right? And then Lucas Moura was saying, yeah, we'll keep up with Manchester City and Liverpool. They'll be very aware of us. Harry Winks was saying the same thing. And I'm thinking, I'm loving this. Loving this fighting talk from all of our players. You know, we're title contenders. You know, we've got to be. If our players are saying that we're going to keep up with Manchester City and Liverpool, you know, there's real belief in the squad. Is there? Are we seeing this?
Well, I was after the Man City game, to be fair. I sat on here and said that I think we're title contenders. I think the issue is, and you bring up a good one, is you see our World Cup winning captain and our club captain this week, yesterday, come out and say, we've blown it after four games. And you kind of just look at that and you think, well, that's not what I want to hear from my captain.
So they must be in that environment of the attitude and they must be...
Something wrong.
It's negative.
Yeah, it's not right.
Just let's go back to that, because do you genuinely believe after four games that it is over? Because that to me seems nonsense.
It's a different feel. It's a completely different feel. Even as a fan, you can feel it. You can feel that it's different. Yeah.
Liverpool lost one game last year.
But look, I'll be the optimistic one here, because I look at it and I was saying earlier, Spurs can go on a run unbeaten 15 games. 100%. We've seen it happen. We can do it. I've just read out all these stats.
September. This is the first international break. It can turn around. I understand the negativity. You've not started great, but anything can happen. It's a long season. Lots to happen yet. We are talking, of course. We will be talking. It is Spurs' birthday. On this day in 1882, Tottenham Hotspur was founded. Happy birthday to the club. We want your all-time memory, your favourite all-time player. Get in touch with us. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 24. 558, because we're going to be talking about that next. Before, we are still talking about the game now, but get your ideas in now, call us, tweet us. Let's carry on talking about the game. And I know we sidetracked on to the manager. Is he happy? Is the title over? Let's talk about another incident in the game now, because fans have been mixed from this. It's from fans from outside of Arsenal and Tottenham. A lot have had their talking points. It's been in the press. Harry Kane, some saying he's a diver, some saying he was cheating, some saying no, it's not diving, you know, he's trying to win a free kick. This is an important part of football now. It's gamesmanship. Before I ask you three and to take your Tottenham glasses off, I think personally, was he diving? No. Was he trying to win a foul? Yes. Do I think that's cheating? No. I think that is a big part of football now. It's, you know, we used to get blamed, the English national players would say, like, we don't do this enough in World Cups, we don't win free kicks, we then can't start doing it and be called divers. Do I think Harry Kane's a cheat or a diver? No. Do I think that was a foul, and was he trying to win a foul? I don't think it was a foul. I do think he was trying to win one. Do I blame him for that? No. Lee, what do you think on that?
I think that Harry Kane is the England captain. I think the man that captained England before him was Wayne Rooney. I think the man that captained before him, correct me if I'm wrong, I might be wrong here, was David Beckham, in between some defenders, captain and whatever. Every single person...
You forgot about John Terry there.
John Terry.
For
John Terry. He's another case in point. Every single captain of England in the modern era has been absolutely rinsed at some stage.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Whether or not it's...
it comes with the territory.
For anything else. And that's no different here. Harry Kane does not dive. Harry Kane does what everyone else does. Yeah. You look at the Aubameyang penalty in last season's Wembley. It weren't a penalty. If that ain't a penalty, it's the same thing. And if he's diving, book him. Yeah. You've got VAR, book him. He didn't dive. I agree with what you're saying about you know, playing for it or whatever. But the reality of the situation is, if that happens, if Harry Kane's a defender and he's shepherded the ball out of play and that attacker pushes Socrates, the attacker, and he pushes him, it's a free kick all day long. So for me, it's a penalty.
I think there's a difference. I think, you know, diving, for me, that's when you
have... That's a strong word.
Diving, that's when you haven't been, you know, there's no contact. I think it's also a simulation where you have been touched, but maybe you play for... You're looking for something. Yeah.
Diving, for me, is the big Tom Daly, you know, the 10.0, the theatrical dive.
Mo Salah.
And it wasn't because there was clear contact. I think when you're in that situation, when you're, you know, you're fatigued and you get that push in the back and you're not going anywhere, I think it's you know, he's within his rights to go down. So I do think it was a penalty.
Is there an element, though, because the argument is that, you know, he's very clever, which is, there's nothing wrong with it. He knows how to put his back into the player. He knows where the contact's coming from and the way he goes over. I think winning fouls, you know, we're all for it when it's trying to slow a game down, when we're ahead, trying to get possession back.
That happens in the
but it's in the North London Derby. It's in the North London Derby, one of the biggest games of the season. If there's a slight bit of contact, like even a finger on you,
you're going down.
Go down.
All day long.
As a manager, I'd say to my players, go down. If you're in the area and you get...
Listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to win a foul. That's the argument I'm saying. But I'm saying, I'm definitely saying it wasn't a dive. Do I think it was a foul? No. Do I think he tried to win the foul? Yes. Is there a problem with that? No. But you're saying it was a foul then, Chris. You're saying it was a foul and by in turn a penalty.
It's 100%. Like, sorry, Chris. What do you think?
I didn't think it was a penalty.
Oh, fair enough. There you go. But is that a free kick in the centre circle?
I don't like this argument.
I'll defend that because when we've done
the first last word on Spurs, well, the first one that I'd done, and I spoke to Chris. Chris said that, you know, the handball in the Champions League final, and he said, "Oh, it was the first 20 seconds of the game." I said, "Well, that doesn't matter. If it's a handball, it's a handball. It's a penalty. All this. Oh, but if that foul was in the centre circle, that's a foul." No, they're either fouls or they're not. I don't understand that.
If that was a handball in the Champions League final, then that was a penalty.
No, but I don't think that was a foul. That's what I'm saying. I personally don't think that was a foul.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that Harry Kane's a diver. But I just don't think that one incident was
very
a foul.
Subjective, isn't it? At the end of the day, draw a line under it. It's subjective. Some people like it. Some people think it is. Some people think it weren't. Whatever. I think we can all agree on is that he didn't dive.
Well, if there is 100%, I don't think he did dive. But if there is this vendetta against Harry Kane, do you think in that one incident, if it was someone else, say Moore or anyone else, might have he got the penalty? Does that go against Harry Kane sometimes? Do refs know this? Because we've seen it with the Grealish incident in Aston Villa. I know that's Aston Villa, we're talking Spurs, but could this hinder Harry Kane?
It shouldn't do now with VAR in place. But they
did check it though, didn't they, VAR?
Subjective, though, isn't it? That's why they don't do anything about it.
But I'd be more worried about the Dele Alli strangle.
How's that not a penalty, honestly?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Does anyone think that the Xhaka on Son weren't a penalty?
That's just
it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's so many incidents. It's just, I think people are coming at Harry Kane from completely the wrong angle. Because to me, I would never want to be a hypocrite. I can't watch England play, and then when Harry Kane wins us a penalty, I'm absolutely jumping for joy. I think winning fouls is part and parcel of football.
You talk about watching England, actually. Think about the World Cup, how many penalties we've got in the World Cup. It's part of the reason why he got the Golden Boot, to be fair to him. But we won them penalties on them corners. Remember Gareth Southgate and his coaching team had all the defenders lining up in a row, didn't they, for set pieces, and people just falling over or going over, getting put... Same thing. It's exactly the same thing. It's actually the Socrates one's worse because you can actually see him go to push him. Like, he actually goes to push him. It's not as if, like, he bumps into him and, like, puts his... Sorry, I'm on a radio, you can't see. And he puts his kind of arms up. He actually pushes him with his left hand.
It's part of the game now, and strikers will look for that. They will look for the contact, and if there's any form of contact, then they'll go down.
For sure. Ask the question to the referee. That's another question, though, because it's a
physical. It's a physical game now, but it should be. Not every contact is a foul.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
not
like
every
the cricket. We're watching
foul.
The Ashes and stuff at the moment, and people appeal. Then how's that? And like you're giving the umpire you're giving the umpire a decision. You're giving the umpire a decision to make. You know, you're putting doubt in his mind. Oh, is it not? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that's the reality. Like Harry Kane, if he stays on his feet after getting shoved in the back quite blatantly by Socrates, then you know he's never going to get a penalty.
Jamie, do you think it was a penalty?
I do think it was a penalty. I think he's within his right to go down. He knows he's not going anywhere. I think it was possibly a chance for him to square it into Lo Celso, but I don't think that was going to happen. So I think he's within his right to go round, and I think it was a penalty.
He thinks it was a penalty. There you
it's
go.
A lovely penalty taken by Kane, though, wasn't it? To make it 2-0, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a fantastic penalty taker. We, of course, are talking the North London derby. Next, though, we're going to be celebrating Spurs' birthday and talking all about the favourite memories.
This is Love Sport.
Birthday you are listening to the Spurs fan show on Love Sport
Come
Radio
on,
with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with singer Lee McQueen,
yeah,
Jamie
baby.
Brand and Chris Callan. It is Spurs birthday, founded on this day in 1882, a very special show, and it is the birthday. We've been talking all about the North London derby, but that's gone. That's in the rearview mirror. Let's focus on the birthday because
for sure.
We want to now talk about some of your happiest memories, how you come to start supporting Spurs, favourite players, favourite memories. Out with the bad, in with the good. Lee.
For sure. And we've got a brilliant mix as well with Chris and Jamie and myself as well. You know, different ages and different times of coming in. And actually, what set this up is it got us thinking. The fantastic commentator that is Jonathan Pearce pointed it out that on the North London Derby, there were certain Arsenal fans singing ridiculously, "Stand up if you've won the league." Which is actually quite incredible because basically the whole stadium was standing up because I think a lot of people believe that the league and football only ever started in 1992.
Yeah.
And clearly that isn't the case. Tottenham, as most clubs have, got a very, very strong, rich history. And for those younger listeners and people that have only just been starting to think that Aninca are the only club, owners that have ever owned the club and so on and so forth, we thought we'd share some memories. And we'd love you to get in touch as well. So 028 7020 558. Get in touch with your fond memories of White Hart Lane. And I just want to throw it out there is, I'm not a massive historian, but actually doing some reading, do some more research and so on and so forth. I mean, I started supporting Tottenham, I think I said this last week, in 1987. It was a 1987 Cup
After
final.
QPR days.
QPR was I was watching QPR's my best mate lived behind the training ground of
you ain't
QPR.
Got to defend it to
I know
us, Lee.
I know but what a lot of people won't actually know is that Tottenham Hotspur Football Club was actually started up by a chap called Bobby Buckle. Yeah. And a bunch of schoolboys that actually played cricket for a club called Hotspur Cricket Club, and hence that's where the name come from. And we actually started the football club as Hotspur, and weirdly enough, and actually quite confusing, there was another London club called Hotspur Football Club, so therefore they changed the name to Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, and that's hence where we were born. We turned professional, I think, and 6 years after turning professional, we won the FA Cup. And correct me if I'm wrong here, lads. Chris, you're looking at me. We're the only club in history, non-league, to win the FA Cup. Is that
That's
right?
That's right, yeah. So, 1901.
So, yeah, 1901. So after 6 years after turning professional, we won our first FA Cup. 2 years previous to that, we actually won our first league title, although it wasn't in the professional league back then. And ultimately had an unbelievable rich history, haven't we, Chris?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I started supporting Spurs as a young boy when Gary Lineker and Paul Gascoigne played for them. Unbelievable footballers for England and for Tottenham, and that's how I got started. Most of my family support Arsenal, actually. I just wanted to be different. Yeah.
Fair play. Well, my earliest memory is Coventry, 1987 Cup final. The reason why, I mean, Waddle to Allen, that first goal, unbelievable header from Clive Allen. It took him to 49 goals that season, if anybody remembers that. And again, for our younger list, I'm looking at Jamie here. Jamie's thinking, who's Clive Allen? But look, the reality is, that, you know, things did exist beforehand. For me, it was the crowd, wasn't it, the game? Because I was only nine, but the crowd, the flags... Yeah. The atmosphere. I mean, you know, do yourself a favour, YouTube it. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't seen the shirt we wore, an all white kit that day, and it really, and there was no sponsor on the shirt, and it was incredible. I absolutely loved it, and you know, to go into the game and to go 2-1 up, and Mabbutt was credited with a goal, but I think it might have been an own goal from them, and then to go to extra time and for Mabbutt to score the own goal. I mean, our king at the time, Gary Mabbutt, and he scored the own goal, and it was heartbreaking. I cried, and I became a Tottenham fan, and that's how I become a Spurs fan.
Yeah, for me, I think I started becoming a Spurs fan in 2005, so I've been quite fortunate, actually.
2005? Martin Yole days? Yeah, talk to me.
Yeah, I think I was very lucky because I think that's the first year we got into Europe, so... Yeah, I've been quite fortunate with that. I think my earliest memory was probably that game where we...
I can't believe that, 2005. Jamie, yeah, when were you born?
97.
Oh, okay,
so.
Right.
Yes, it's about right, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I remember my first game was the 3-2 win against Blackburn Rovers when Robbie Keane scored the goal where he flicks it over the head.
Fantastic goal. It's one of my favourite Keane goals.
Yeah, so that was a very good game to go to. And
Bunjacevic. Bunjacevic would have been in that side, wouldn't he?
See, Jamie's just used to Champions League football
I've been blessed.
It's quite interesting.
When you say that, Chris, would you say that Jamie's now being spoilt? That younger generation that Lee mentions, are they being spoilt because now they've only ever had it good?
Well, we had one day Ramos.
Well, I've got
I likes that.
You know what I mean in context.
I've got a 13-year-old boy, Harry, who I took to the Champions League final, right. And he thinks that all of this is very normal.
Normal,
right. Very, very normal. He don't know of the days of, you know, Tramazzani and
my word,
like Jason Cundy playing for us, and you know we've had some awful players.
Tramazzani,
over the years.
Right? He was signed under my previous boss, and I love my previous boss, as you all know, but. That was probably the worst sign he under his stewardship ever. Paolo Tramazzani, horrific. Chris, what made you support Spurs? Because you said earlier about, like, you know, your family of Arsenal and that sort of stuff. Was there like a key moment?
No, it was Lineker and Gazza, and it was just
because they were amazing, weren't they?
They were amazing, and it was the way that Tottenham played, and whenever I'd put on the TV and see Tottenham play, I'd be like, wow.
You see, you see like the footage of Hoddle and stuff, and again, younger listeners and stuff, please, like, just YouTube it. It's so awesome. Like, he'd come out with swashbuckling football and he'd have his shirt untucked, wouldn't he? Yeah. And it just come on. I mean, some of the balls, the dinks, the chips, Waddle as well, go one way, go another way. Proper wingers. We played with, you know, back then it was different. And again, I'm not saying it was better than what it is now, but you know, the 80s was a rich vein of form. What a lot of people, you have to correct me for some facts here, Chris, because I might be wrong here, but what a lot of people don't realise as well is we're the first English club to do the double. So the first ever English club to win the FA Cup and the League Cup, under Bill Nick. We were also the first English club to win a European trophy.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep.
And again, for our younger listeners, it wasn't just the Champions League, right? There was used to be three cup competitions before they changed it. Some very, very strong, prestigious UEFA European Cup, Winners' Cup, and also the...
UEFA Cup.
And the UEFA Cup as well. So, you know, there was three cup competitions and we were there. Yeah, some amazing nights at White Hart Lane. So, fond memories.
Some amazing nights, some amazing memories. Well, next, we might just have a very special guest to tell us of their favourite memories too.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Lee McQueen, Jamie Brand and Chris Carlin. The first hour has flown by. Of course, we were looking at that massive game on the weekend, the 2-2 draw at the Emirates with Arsenal. But more importantly, it's Spurs' birthday. We're celebrating that. Lots of favourite memories from everyone here. If you've got a favourite memory, please call us on 0208 7020 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. But more importantly, it is a birthday. But Chris, how much has Spurs changed? You know, not from day one, because I know you wasn't there, but, you know, vintage Spurs.
I tell you what,
not
a lot of people know about Chris Cowling, right, is he was down in 1882. He was down at that training ground. He was there, mate. He was filming during that time.
I've seen a viral video.
Stadium update,
the training ground, home and away, Mr. Chris Cowling. How much has it changed since you started supporting him?
Well, obviously the Champions League, you know, being top four, challenging for Champions League and the Premier League and so on, it has really changed, and the club is in a much, much better position than when I first started supporting them. But on a negative note, I can't believe that we've just mentioned that since the, you know, 1990, it's like one FA Cup and one League Cup in all that time. I've never really thought of it like that.
It's quite scary, isn't it? It's quite scary.
Yeah. Well, for me, in terms of how it's changed, I mean, I know, as we said, I have had it good. You know, I've had a lot of European football to enjoy. But I think one thing that has massively changed, and one thing that I'm so grateful to Daniel Levy for, is the whole infrastructure of the club that's now in place. Because obviously with the stadium, the training facilities, I think that, you know, whatever happens with this group of players, the manager, I think that there is now a base for Spurs to be successful, whatever happens. Because, you know, as a player, you want to play at that stadium. As a player, you want to train regularly at that training facility. So I think in terms of how it's changed, the infrastructure, and also just that, you know, being in the Champions League final. You know, when I was growing up in, you know, when I started supporting them in 2005, being in the Champions League wasn't even something that crossed my mind. Like, it was, you know, I never could consider Spurs.
The signing gate, mate, 2005, wasn't it?
Exactly,
Martin Jol,
exactly.
You remember?
So, you know, not even being in it was just like, you know, was an amazing thing. And now to have been in the final, you know, I think it's, you know, it's brilliant at the moment. And that's why I'm, you know, I'm so happy at the moment with what's going on.
What's quite interesting for me is, you know, I have seen, since 1987, I've seen players come and go, owners come and go, managers come and go. The stadium's changed, the status of our club has changed, down at the top table, as you talked about, the wealth. Well, you know, we are now the 9th richest club in Europe, which is incredible. We are richer, in terms of the last list that came out, than Juventus, which is incredible. We've won 3 trophies, is it, since 1991. Is it 2 League Cups? 1 League Cup.
Sorry, Lee, 1999 and 2008.
Yeah, so two League Cups and an FA Cup. But what's, we just touched on this, well, on the field, what's actually changed? The mentality of our club since 1976. So when Jason just came on, you know, that ability to, maybe it's not Spursy anymore. We used to be get levelled as we were a soft belly. You listen to journalists and you listen to pundits like Gary Neville, for example, or Sir Alex's team talking about Spurs coming to Old Trafford. Don't worry, it's Tottenham. Yeah, we'll take these apart. They can go 3-0 up if you want. We'll still win. And how many times have we seen it? That has been the case. And I think we have changed a little bit on that, for sure. And Poch has done a lot of work. And you mentioned Levy with the infrastructure, and I agree with that. But Pochettino has been absolutely phenomenal in getting our mentality changed. But actually, I'll put a rallying cry out again to all of the listeners and the fans. We need to change our atmosphere in the stadium. We need to take that with us. We have to be the 12th person. You know, it might be cliches all over the place, but I'm telling you, if we want to sit there and not support the team, we're never going to change our mentality.
Do you know another reason why Arsenal got the draw on the weekend?
Because of the crowd.
Because their crowd. Because
for
the
sure.
crowd got behind them.
100%.
And that gave them such a massive lift.
Yeah, but that's an easy positive to give them, because they're going to get behind them. It's a massive derby game. You're at home. Had it been at Spurs and Spurs, with, yeah. you would have got behind them. Come on, we've got back into
another
it.
Another example was against Borussia Dortmund last year when Spurs, you know, we managed to not get the crowd involved at Borussia Dortmund. And I think that really played into our hands. You know, we played we were so defensive and made it so frustrating for them that the crowd didn't get involved. And obviously, you know, we won that game 1-0. So it shows you there is such a big impact the crowd can have on the game.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, coming back to kind of nothing's really changed on the field, what might change on the field, or what needs to change mentality-wise, is maybe winning something. And we talked about this last week, and, you know, the money and so on and so on. The 9th richest club in Europe, that's phenomenal. But we still ain't won a trophy since 2000. You know what I mean? Since whatever it was,
2008.
Well, let's talk about winning trophies, because it was a heavy topic of last week's show. And you said, you know, no one remembers the League Cup winners, and, you know, it's lost this magic. And I even said, well, what about the FA Cup? You said, no,
I couldn't even remember what year it was a minute ago when we won it.
I just said to Chris, I hope you don't mind me saying, you went, you really find, no, because I agree with you. You find winning trophies important. You want to win those trophies. I have to say, I 100% agree with you. But you did say, I know you was joking, because obviously you don't want this to happen, but you said, I'd happily take Tottenham 16th and a League Cup or an FA Cup. Let's bear in mind, Chris was obviously joking. He doesn't want that, but you were saying it in essence behind of the winning the trophy and how important that is to you.
To me as a fan, I want to see Tottenham win things. And if we're not going to be Premier League title contenders, then I want to see us go for the League Cup or go for the FA Cup and take it very, very seriously. Colchester away in the League Cup, I want to see a very strong lineup, and I want to see us intending to win that game and win it comfortably. And every round to the final, I want to win, and finally put a trophy in Pochettino's cabinet, because
winning breeds, you know, it's the winning mentality, isn't it, Chris? Because I do believe once you get one,
yes,
you know, it's everything. You know,
totally.
The fans, we have to get over that line. People can drop this whole whatever they say of us. We get one, and now the players go, oh, this is what it tastes like. You know, success breeds success. There is a massive answer for that, and you've got a trophy. I know Jamie and Lee feel quite different on it, but there's so much to be said for it, isn't there?
Well, players like Hugo Lloris, for example, last week was his 7th anniversary at the club. 7 years he's been at Tottenham, and he's not won any trophies. You know, the likes of Dele Alli, Sonny and Harry Kane and so on, they've got no trophies at Tottenham so far. And, you know, this is Pochettino's sixth season in charge. He needs to win a trophy this season. And I really do think, I've got a real big feeling that he is going to take the FA Cup and the League Cup seriously this year. And I think that he's going to go out all out to win it, because realistically, will we win the Premier League this season? No. Realistically, will we win the Champions League? Probably not. This is, you know, FA Cup and League Cup are the big ones, you know, for us to go for this season.
Well, before we hear what Lee and Jamie say in reply, they'd like to say we have got a caller on the line. It is, of course, time for Adrian's Corner.
Adrian,
thank you for calling in. Just quickly, before I ask you for your favourite Spurs moment on Spurs' birthday, do you agree with Chris? Should Tottenham be fielding their strongest possible 11 in pursuit of a League Cup or FA Cup?
I agree with Chris entirely. It's very important. I mean, I didn't realise I was that much older than you guys. I mean, I was on the shelf as a five-year-old watching the double side play.
Amazing.
So,
nice.
So my favourite player, obviously, is Jimmy Greaves, the Messi of his day, you know. But the reason that cups are so important is that out of all the trophies we've won, which is 17, there's only two League Cup finals. The other 15 are cups. 8 FA Cups, 4 League Cups, 2 UEFA Cups and the Cup Winners Cup. You know, and the other interesting fact is, regarding winning things, which I think is a good omen, is that 8 of them trophies were won in a year ended in a 1. 1901, 21, 51, 61, 2, 71, 81 and 91. So half of our trophies have been won in a year ended in 1. And usually when we approach a decade, like 60, 61, 62, 63 and win the Cup Winners Cup 5-1 in Rotterdam, in Feyenoord Stadium, you know, then you've got 81, 82, 84 again, the beginning of another decade, you know. 91 we didn't follow up, but 71, 72, 73 we won 2 League Cups and the UEFA Cup under Nicholson, you know, 3 of his 8 trophies he won for us, you know. So it's very important. I mean, I know the cups have lost their sort of romance, but they're such an integral part of Tottenham's glorious football and history. We should be going all out to win one.
Adrian, can I just quickly ask you, it's Liam, mate. I think you talk so passionate about it. It's amazing to have, you know, that knowledge and the fact that you was 5 years old and being at the title double side and, you know, just for me, only being able to watch footage and all that sort of stuff of them times, and I wasn't part of that. So it's brilliant to hear you speak. But do you actually think that this crop of players and under this manager and where we are right now, how are you feeling? Do you think we can win Saint? Do you think we will win Saint this season? Like, where's your head at?
Well, in 1999 we won, didn't we?
We did.
I think that was Ramos, was it? A League Cup?
Yeah.
I think, well, I've had bets on all four competitions, a tenner on each, you know what I mean? But
George Graham.
Next year,
oh, George Graham,
year
George
one,
Graham, Adrian. Adrian, it's George Graham that won in 1999.
Yeah, yeah. So, our concerns are fullbacks. If Sessegnon beds in, great. I think I hope Rose can rediscover some sort of form and all that. But, you know, I mean, it's just fullbacks. Everywhere else, we're so solid. Midfield, up front, we've got enough firepower. Troy Parrott's now in the squad as well, you know, to back up Kane. We're going to go close this year. I fancy us to win a cup this year and finish at least third.
Well, hopefully cool. Spurs can make a pursuit of that cup. Adrian, thank you so much, buddy, for calling the traditional Adrian's Corner there. Just before we took the call, Chris was obviously saying how important he felt the cups were. Now, Jamie, Lee, if you could reply. I know we spoke about it last week, but after hearing what Chris had to say, Jamaican right now, and also maybe with the start you've had, should you be going after a League Cup or FA Cup?
No.
Or just wait to 2021?
No, for me... I only want to spoil. See us put... No, I'm serious.
2005.
Spoil.
The whole way Spurs are going to improve and are going to change the whole mentality is by getting into the Champions League. These top players do not want the League Cups, the FA Cups. They want to be playing in the Champions League. And to get to win those major trophies, the likes of the Premier League, the Champions League, the things that are going to keep our manager here, the top players here, we need to, you know, we need to be qualifying for the Champions League, and that's why I want to prioritise league over any of the cups.
Last week, Lee, you said, you know, no disrespect to the League Cups, but no one really remembers them. You know what I mean? No one talks, oh, you won the League Cup. You know, we're just hearing Chris mention when you last did win trophies, and now the caller Adrian saying, we won this, we won this. Of course people talk about
Pep,
the years
Guardiola,
you won trophies.
Jose Mourinho, all the top managers win these competitions and take
squad.
Them.
They have a squad to we be did. Able to do that. We don't have
We
the
haven't
squad.
Spent the money to be going for Premier
but
League titles.
Do we have, do we realistically have that sort of money? I don't. I mean, I think we
realistically we could win one of those trophies. Realistically, we're not going to win.
Lee just said you're
Premier
the
League.
Ninth richest club in Europe. You should have the money.
We should be spending it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one. I mean, I hear what Chris is saying. I hear
I wasn't
what Adrian
pulling
is saying.
You up.
No, it's fine. No, I don't mind.
The fans need something to celebrate. We all need
for sure. Here's the way I look at it. My stance is still the same as it is with Jamie. I'm gonna go back on what I said. I love the passion. I love the passion from Adrian, from Chris, from people wanting to see things. But that's not going to change the history of our club. It will change the history of our club because we can say that we've lifted another a cup. What's really going to define Tottenham Hotspur is winning a big prize. We got to a Champions League final last year, so we have proved to the entire world that we can get to a Champions League final. We just missed out on 90 minutes of football. We missed out. It wasn't a great game. Liverpool didn't batter us. We did deserve to be there. We need to have the mentality to say we deserve to be there. We didn't hold the trophy aloft. I get it. We did not win it, but we still got there. You know, the hardest games to lose, the hardest games to lose are semi-finals primarily, or the time to celebrate is not to when you win a semi-final. You know, you need to be serious about winning in the final, not about the semi-final. You know, we talk about Pochettino, does he take his cup seriously? We've gone through it all already. Under Pochettino, in 5 seasons, he's been to a League Cup final, two FA Cup semi-finals, Champions League final, and a League Cup semi-final. So I'm not saying that I think he does take him seriously. The point that Chris made about the squad is a good point. But we did smash our transfer record this year, Chris, twice, if you take the Lo Celso thing. But in one foul swoop, I think it is a key area. Right. He looked at the key areas that he needed, and they've addressed them. Pochettino's three top players that he wanted, Daniel Levy signed for him. So the reality is that if we'd have won that Newcastle game, we'd be sitting here now. I don't know what the negativity is all about. The reality is we can go on a run. Hang on, I'm on a roll here. We can go on a run, 15, 16 games. We turn Liverpool over, like we did at Wembley a couple of seasons ago, 4-1, and we're back in the game.
But our defence is worse than last season.
At the moment, it might be. But
Chris,
what happens if it's a bit settled in the next couple of 2 months?
If you're in just said that wasn't enough.
You're in a Champions League final, right? You've got a fantastic stadium. You've got a fantastic manager. Everything is fantastic about our club. I couldn't agree more or shout about that. But when you've got all of that, this is the time. When you're in a Champions League final, every single European player, no matter who they're playing for, would have seen Tottenham in that Champions League final. Yeah. And they would have seen the brand new stadium and all of that. So that is the time to attract the top players and spend the money. And there is no excuses whatsoever why any top player wouldn't have wanted to come and sign for Tottenham if we had the money and if we were going to pay the wages. And this, I think, is a real opportunity missed.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that, because I do agree with sentiments of what you're saying. I think the other side of the coin for me is that if you recognise it, to take it as a business, for example, if you recognise that your business isn't equipped to go and win huge global contracts, maybe you don't go for huge global contracts. What you do is maybe you go for local business, or you go for businesses a little bit, not on a global scale. Maybe if Tottenham totally put all their eggs in the domestic cups and just become experts in winning them over the next kind of 2-3 years, maybe that would change, and all of a sudden we've got cups in it. I don't know. Maybe what you're saying is we can't have it all, which I kind of get. I get that we shouldn't be going after all four trophies, because that's unrealistic. Is that what you're saying?
If you were Harry Kane and you're Hugo Lloris, right, and I'm Christian Eriksen, and I said to you two, right, I'm thinking about leaving, I don't want to be at the club anymore. And you two say, why? And we say, well, I haven't actually won anything while I've been here in the period of time. What would you two think as well? Because if all of these players, top players, have been at Tottenham for this time, surely all the top players at the club would be asking the same question of why are we not investing to really, really challenge.
I don't think a League Cup's going to change that, though. I think that if you go into that, because it was so close last year.
No, but you're talking about winning the Premier League.
Yes,
and it's very unlikely.
Eventually. I think if we can...
But how long? Because how long are we going to keep giving it? Because all of these players are ageing. And how long is Harry Kane, for example, someone like him, someone like Hugo Lloris, being at the club for 7 years, how long do they say, OK, enough's enough? Because I don't blame Christian Eriksen. I'm a huge fan of Christian Eriksen, and I want him to stay at the club, right? But it is not about money. It is about playing football for him.
If Christian Eriksen, just to answer your question, if Christian Eriksen won the League Cup this season, he'd still leave.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing to do with the League Cup. If he'd have won, let me tell you another
story. I totally
agree,
Lee.
If he'd have won the Champions League this year, they'd have all left. Because they'd have all been sitting like Pochettino's attitude, oh, what else can I do? Because people don't take... We're not a serious club at the top level.
Also,
that's the reality. We're not an elite club yet.
But that's my point. This now should have been when we invested a lot of money, the most money we've ever spent in a transfer window, to really go up there. Liverpool always spend money, Man City always spend money. They're a mile away from any club at the moment. Like, you ask anyone involved in football, can Tottenham challenge for the title? It's almost like people laugh. And you think, why are people laughing at Tottenham challenging for the Premier League title? Because we should be in a position now where we should be doing that. Pochettino is his sixth season. That's why I said earlier that I feel like he's starting again. Yeah. Because 5 years of building, why do I feel like we're starting again?
Yeah. He may be starting again. Jamie mentioned Tottenham 2.0. Chris said they needed to sign the players now. It was a perfect time to attract the top quality after getting to the European final. Well, they did challenge for that European Cup. And it is time to talk about their Champions League squad announcement next.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me.
We're going off here, aren't we, Chase?
It's kicked off. I've got to say, I'm a bit flustered. My head's gone. Yeah, I'm down on the scorecards. Put it that way. I need a late
stoppage.
Maybe
do a poll or something on social media, because I think Chris is bringing to the party some phenomenal passion,
100%.
From outstanding points. Jamie's, doing the same thing, some outstanding points.
So are you, selfishly. You're
well,
all
no,
good.
Yeah,
it's great to have three different opinions.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult because, you know, at the end of the day, we're emotional fans and we all love the club. We want to see it do well, and there'll be nothing more... I think we can all agree on this. There'd be nothing more pleasing than Spurs winning all the trophies, right? Of course that. But I think... I understand where Chris is coming from. I think from... It's unrealistic to think that we can win all the trophies, right? So why don't we pick the trophies that we think that we've got a better run at and win them and start winning them? Like you just mentioned off air, Arsenal still winning FA Cups and so on and so forth. Why don't we go after that and win the FA Cups?
That's what Chris is saying, though, because he said the League Cup, but you said you don't want to win the League Cup.
Because I think if Eriksen...
That's what Chris said.
I know.
Why would you two sit here and say we don't want to win an FA Cup?
No, it's not what we're saying.
In the scheme of things, they want to go for other stuff.
I think the Cups are on the side, and the thing is, we need the most is Champions League football. We talk about changing the mentality. The way we're going to change the mentality is by getting into the top four every season, so we can bring in the likes of Ndombele.
How long are we talking?
Dybala. I think, you know, 2 or 3 years. I think we're close.
So
we're getting close.
You think Pochettino will get to his 8th or 9th season trophyless?
Yeah. Can I interrupt, Chris? Would you sacrifice top four for one of those trophies?
Yeah, right now I would. Yeah. I think that over the last 30 years,
it's a lot.
The counter-argument to that is, if you do sacrifice top four, you said that being in that top four, getting to that Champions League final, is where you can attract the players. If you don't, you won't be able to.
That's the debate. I know.
Yeah,
I don't want to win a trophy. Of course I do.
I know.
I absolutely want to win a trophy. But the reality is, we've got more chance of keeping the likes of a Pochettino, a Harry Kane, a Dele Alli, if we're playing Champions League football against Juve and PSG, than like going away to Colchester and winning a Carabao Cup.
Yeah, but you've got a lot of these players who have been at the club for years and they've won nothing with us.
Well, exactly. Maybe they're not good enough, Chris.
Of course they're good enough.
How do you know?
Hugo Lloris, 7 years at the club, has won nothing.
Yeah.
Of course he's good
winner.
Enough.
He's a World Cup winner.
Yeah. That's a good argument.
What's he won? He's not good enough. He's won the World Cup.
Yeah, okay.
Harry Kane. Of his country.
Don't you feel for people like Harry Kane?
No.
I don't feel for him because it's their responsibility win us something.
Don't you feel for us as fans?
I feel for us.
The fact that we go to all the games, passionate, singing, you know, love it, love every minute of it, and then we get so close and then it's like, oh.
Yeah, but also I'm also one of these people that firmly believes, and I've seen this with my own 100%. With my own eyes. In different walks of life, that failure makes you better. And if you fail at something, that's what you learn. You learn out of that. And you know, the tough times, I do think there's something around the corner for Tottenham. 100%. I have to be optimistic. There is something around the corner from Spurs. And that, what's going to happen is, what happens if all of a sudden it does all come together?
Yeah.
And we do start winning trophies. And you know, I can't wait for that day. I hope that day happens. I think we all do. That's why we're still fans. I genuinely think that something's going to happen. But if that means that we've still got to go through some pain in order to get to the glory, yeah, then so be it. I'll take the more pain. But I understand what you're saying. 30 years of free trophies and pain is hard to take, for sure.
In January, we're going to return for a player. I really think we're going to return for a player like Paulo Dybala. And if they do not, if we do not have Champions League football...
You're sceptical, Chris. Chris is sceptical.
Raging inside, hands to so face, raging. He's nodding, he's shaking his head, he can't believe it. What, Chris, why, hearing Jamie say that, why?
I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see it happen. That's all I'll say.
But
I just cannot see.
So you say finishing outside the top four. What happens then? Where do we go from there? Because then Pochettino won't want to stay. Why would Pochettino want to stay at a club that's not got Champions League football? Why would Harry Kane want to stay in a club that's not got Champions League football? Who'd want to come to the club? Who'd want to Tonga and Ndombele wouldn't sign for Spurs.
Jamie, this was my point earlier. When you've got Champions League football and you were in the Champions League final, this is the time to attract. If you're going to suddenly attract, when you've just got, not even got out of the group stages. Imagine this season we don't even get out of the group stage. I know it's unlikely.
Is it?
But imagine if that happened.
Is there an argument, Jamie? You say if Spurs fall out of the top four, who are we going to attract? Well, if Spurs are playing their wages, I don't want to say that money makes the, rules the world. But, if you're offering the wages, players will come. Look at the other clubs who have fallen out of the top four and they still are attracting big talent.
Because Spurs are a different... I think that we are trying to catch up with these clubs in terms of size. I don't think, we couldn't... Manchester United, for example, they could still bring in some massive... They've still brought in massive players
when
they're
at the
Europa
League.
That's
the club I'm talking about, yeah.
But Tottenham couldn't do that.
We're like in the top three in the world. I know I talked about ninth. I agree with you 100%. We've made some massive strides in changing our wage structure and so on and so forth. And I don't think you could point a finger at the board or whatever for not trying to keep Christian Eriksen. They've been talking to Christian Eriksen for 2 years over a new contract. They've had $200,000 on a week.
It's not about money.
That's what I mean. Exactly. So what is it about? It ain't about winning the Carabao Cup, Chris, with respect. It's about challenging for league titles and
Premier. But it's not about being in a Champions League final either, is it?
Well, it would have been. That's my point with Christian Eriksen. If he'd have won the Champions League with Spurs, it has still been going, it's time for a new challenge. Sometimes it's just time for a new challenge.
Yeah.
The Carabao Cup is not going to keep Christian Eriksen.
But then we're now it's about, because we've got the level we have, because we're getting in Champions League regularly, we've been able to bring in Giovanni Lo Celso, a guy who hopefully will come in and replace Christian Eriksen. And of course... Eriksen and these group of players haven't won anything. And I think that that's where we get too emotionally attached to certain players. I'm not talking about the likes of Harry Kane, Dele Alli. I think there are still some players there that, they're not going to get us over the line. So it's no worry about losing
them. But think about it, Jamie. You've got players like Kyle Walker. He leaves Spurs because he wants to win trophies. And then within 6 months, he's won the League Cup.
I think that's going to happen.
Ironically, he won the League Cup at Manchester City.
Yeah.
Because teams like that go for the League Cup.
I agree with that. I did say that last week.
Chelsea were the same under Mourinho. He said
all the big clubs
I'm
win
having
the
that.
Cup.
I'm having some of that, and they win the League Cup. Under when Jose went to Man United, everybody forgets this, but he won the Europa League and he won the League Cup. That's two trophies in one season.
And he got sacked.
He got fired. He got sacked. So look, I mean, I'm sure it'll rumble on and on. I think for me, you have to be. You have to be competitive at the top competitions. And if on the way you win an FA Cup and a League Cup, it's absolutely nice. Amazing. But 100%. You have to be competitive at the top table.
With Pochettino managing Spurs over the last 5 years, and we have had some fantastic afternoons, fantastic Champions Leagues and all of that. Imagine if Pochettino left the club tomorrow and then his record is 1-0. That is dreadful.
If he did leave,
oh no!
who would you have come in? Just quickly human we may be.
Can I ask a question from the flip side then? Because I know people always talk about stats. You just said if the manager leaves tomorrow, it will be 1-0. And that's very easy to throw out. Yes, 1-0. But is that he won't surely just be remembered by that. Because look how far he
not
has
for
taken
me,
the club.
Man, not
yeah,
for
but
me.
Not for me, you know. And I'm talking from an outside perspective. It's easy to throw that and go 1-0.
He's been amazing. Absolutely amazing. And what he's changed in our whole mentality of the football club has been... I think that's where he gets grumpy. I think that's where he gets frustrated. I think he's frustrated with potentially lack of the absolute more signings that he needed or wanted. Although I do agree with Jamie, I think more will come in Jan. I think he's been frustrated with the fact that...
But this is my point. If Pochettino can get us to a Champions League final and not spend any money in 500 days, what can he do with money? That is exactly what...
But he's been given money.
More. We need more money.
I'm surprised. I know you've got to go break it, but I'm surprised, Chris, you're saying that. Like, if somebody of you know, goes home and away and all the stuff, maybe it's because you've been going home and away for all these years that, you know, you're just craving that success. But
well, hold on to that, Lee, because when we come back, I want to hear why you're surprised at that and what your answer to it is.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with Lee McQueen, Jamie Brand, and Chris Callan. It's been a packed show tonight. Lots of debates, lots of different opinions. We, of course, were looking at the game from last weekend, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes at Tottenham at the minute. We're talking all about that. Just before the break, Chris, you was on a roll. Lee said he was surprised at your comments. Lee, what is your reply to Chris?
Yeah, I was just saying before, like, I'm just surprised, actually, knowing Chris. And I've known Chris, I've had the pleasure of knowing Chris now for a while, and just, you know, we're virtually the same sort of age, grew up in the same era, watching Spurs in the same sort of time, and it's just quite interesting to, I was surprised that, you know, it's kind of all or nothing, almost, on a domestic cup, and, you know, there's quite a lot of, look, put this on the record, Chris goes every single game. I mean, Chris will go home and away, he'll go abroad, he'll go to Audi Cup, he'll go everywhere. He knows more about it than I do. But I don't know, like, there's some negativity coming out about, you know, you just think the wheels are going to fall off, Chris.
No, like I said...
Kind of.
No, like I said earlier, the way that even at the opening day of this season, you know, Tottenham players were talking about going for the title and all of that. And then, like you said, Hugo Lloris kind of writing it off after four matches.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It says a lot. It does say a lot in the fact that I don't think that we spent enough money in the summer. I think that it's a great opportunity missed. And I just don't, you know, we've got to live with our defence at the moment until January at least. Mm-hmm. I know Jamie thinks that we're signing Dybala in January and all that will be great, but I just can't see it happening. And I just, honestly, I feel gutted that we haven't spent the money that I thought we would. When you're going for the title, you need to spend a lot of money, don't you?
Well, I mean, you do, in a sense. I mean, Leicester City won a title without spending lots of money. Liverpool didn't sign one player other than a youngster that took the mickey out of Harry Kane in the closed season. So they're backing up their Champions League win in their... And they're one loss in the Premier League with no signings. So they're doing a bit of a reverse Spurs. So we'll see how that pans out. I do think you're right in terms of, you know, strengthening. But I do think we have strengthened. You know, we've taken a £30 million left back, 18 years old, and put Josh Onuma in the other way, made the deal £25 million. We've got £60 million Lo Celso, who's coming potentially to replace Christian Eriksen, or maybe alongside him, who knows. And we've got a transfer record spend of £63 million on Tungai and Dembele, who's absolutely outstanding. None of them players have even been on the field yet at the same on the same time. We haven't had that new player bounce. 100%. I think we've got some issues, you know, in the background, and maybe that's because everyone was unsettled, like we were talking about before. But actually, we've got so much going for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. I think we should be happy and proud and crack on. It's Champions League final. How can we be so negative after
Why
it?
Is there then this negativity that seems to be surrounding Tottenham at the minute? No one's quite putting their finger on it. Chris, you're worried, concerned, shall I say, that, you know, the wheels are going to come off, or it could come pear-shaped. You're someone, as Lee mentioned, you go home and away. But why is this? Why do you feel it? Because you're there, you're every game. Where'd you get this from?
Things have changed. Pochettino's attitude, you know, up to the Arsenal press conference, he's very grumpy. He's very grumpy, and it's not the Pochettino that we know. Things just seem so different at the moment, and the player relationships, you know, even in the opening few games, Danny Rose playing, Davinson Sanchez, they don't even seem to talk to one another. The Newcastle game really upset me. I'd not been that upset losing a game.
I know what you're going to say.
AVB
Wigan?
Well, for a very long time, Lee.
I remember that. I know. I was the same, bud.
I'm very passionate on the day of a game. And if we lose, like the journey home with my dad, I don't say a word.
Horrific.
I'm like a little kid sulking all the way home. And that's what I was like that day. And I think that I ran here faster than the Tottenham players actually ran in that game.
Yeah.
So what do we think the solution is then? Let's talk about the positive. Jamie, what do we think the solution is for get positive again? Because it almost seems like that we're charged, or we're mentally charged with the wheels are going to fall off. Not just Chris, but all of us as Spurs fans. We're almost too good to be true. This thing's going to go wrong, surely. What do you think?
As I said, I think that Spurs are in the process of rebuilding. I do really believe that we've made a great start in bringing in the likes of Ndombele, Sessegnon, Lo Celso. But I feel as though towards the start of the season, we've not had any luck with injuries. We've had missing Ndombele. He's been such a big miss already. I think we've had Juan Foyt out. So obviously, you know, right back's been a big issue for Spurs. No Ryan Sessegnon. And then, of course, we've had Christian Eriksen unsettled. So there's been so many issues, and I think after this international break, when the players come back and the transfer window is now closed in elsewhere, I think it will be all more positive.
Can I just add something to this as well? And this is not like a ding dong with me and Chris, but earlier I talked about our most successful Premier League season of all time, which was 86 points in the title race 16-17, and out of that team. We had our defence was pretty settled that year. We had Hugo Lloris, Carl Walker, Jan Vertonghen, Ben Davies, and Toby Alderweireld, with Danny coming in and out with Ben Davies. The only player that we've changed since that season is Carl Walker.
Huge difference.
A huge difference, don't get me wrong, but that's the only player we've changed. So looking on the positive side of things, why can't we get these players to get that form back? Let's get them coaching them to talk and get that form back. We can do it. 26 goals conceded that season. We can do it. And I can guarantee this now, everybody was sitting here saying to me, well, Carl Walker weren't the best right back, was he, defensively? He was good going forward, but was he that good defending? So actually, if we get the right back is an issue, but with Juan Foyth or Serge Aurier, a KWP, you know, it might not be that bad. No, there is, we can't bring anyone in until January, but four out of five players that I've just talked about are still at the club. So how do you know? No, I'm looking at it from a positive perspective. How can it all be that doom and gloom? Jan and Toby are a brilliant centre-back partnership, but they're still at the club.
They're not as good as they once were, though. I think injuries they're definitely
not as good as they once were, but no. Why can't they rediscover that form? Why can't they?
Their age.
So we should replace Jan and Toby, then? That's the issue.
What did you think of Kieran Trippier's comment saying it was a step up, him moving to Atletico Madrid?
I think he's bitter. I think he's gutted that he's left Tottenham. I think he's absolutely cheesed off about it.
He said there
were
a lot of problems that he couldn't go back.
He also said he wanted to stay. He did come out and say this week he wanted to stay.
He did mention that he wanted to stay. He also said that he reached out to the manager. The manager never come back to him. He reached out to the chairman.
I thought that was odd with the Pochettino.
It's all of these things I worry about. There's too many things. Jan Vertonghen not in the team. I don't care what excuses there are. A player like Jan Vertonghen should be in the team.
He was in the team on the weekend, though. Back in the team. How did you feel about that? We mentioned it last week. He's not playing. Was he making a statement, the manager? Then he was straight back
in
the team.
You're always glad to see these players back, Christian Eriksen and Jan Vertonghen. It's a North London derby. You know, you need these players. You need your top players. They're always going to be on the first 11 on your team sheet.
How many games do we play in the Premier League? 38, right? Just quickly round robin, how many times did Jan Vertonghen play in the Premier League last year?
Last year?
I'll say 25.
Yeah, probably about the same, 26, 27.
Same?
Yeah.
22. Played 22 times. That's nearly half the games he missed, give or take. So the point being is that, so he hasn't started a couple. Maybe he comes back in, he's a bit like relaxed. Maybe he hasn't done the pre-season and Poch said, oi, no, you're one of my senior players here, son. You've got to sort yourself out. And I'm not giving you special rules because you're Jan Vertonghen. You're going to get yourself a bit fitter before you come in my side. And by the way, I've got 22-year-old Davinson Sanchez who I spent 40 million on, who I absolutely believe in. And that's why he's going to play. Maybe. I don't know. There's definitely stuff going on. The point that I'm making is that this all this doom and gloom, we've got this all this new stuff, but we've also got a lot of the stuff that we had before
in terms of the players, the defensive unit, if you can put that defensive unit out, it's the same bloody defensive unit as it was 2 years ago when we come second.
Just quickly, Chris, is there an element that when things are bad, everything's terrible? You know, if the Spurs would have won that game on the weekend, it wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have heard about so much, you know, because sometimes there is a little
Eriksen
bit of clickbait.
Scored, breaking news, sorry, look, Eriksen scored, Denmark.
Charlie, I don't think it is just about this season. I don't think it is just about these four games. I believe that the situation has been going on for a few months. Even when we had the route to the Champions League final, a lot of us just just swept it under the carpet. Really, didn't really discuss it because we were so caught up in the hype of the Champions League final, and rightly so. It was very exciting time for us all as fans.
Sorry. I think this is where the issue with the whole squad, and I don't think we have the squad at the moment to go and win these competitions on the side. I think it's nice that, you know, maybe we can win a trophy, but I think, you know, if we play our full strength team in the Carabao Cup and then it comes to the league game and we lose because you know the players are knackered from playing two games in the space of, you know, very quick succession, and then it came that what was the difference between us finishing the top four? It was 1 point between us, so we can't be affording to take any risk in the Premier League. We need to be finishing that top four. And I don't think we quite have the squad. I think Jason said it before. I don't think, you know, Manchester City always win this competition, always wins these small competitions because they've got the squad.
So you don't think that we've got a good enough squad to finish fourth and win an FA Cup?
Yeah, we've got a good enough squad.
Because
what's
the difference of finishing second to fourth?
I think we want a good run. We need a good run in the Champions League. I want us to prioritise having a good. I'd rather we had what we did last year in the Champions League, even a semi-final. I'd rather we had a semi-final in the Champions League than winning a cup. And I don't think the Spurs can go for the top four, go for a good Champions League run and win a trophy.
Chris, semi-final of the Champions League or FA Cup?
FA Cup.
It's an amazing journey, wasn't it? Amsterdam a semi. But no, I think, you know, look.
I'm playing devil's advocate there, obviously.
I was just going back to these player things as well. Like one person I haven't put into this because he wasn't here in that 86 points season is Serge Aurier. Now, we're sitting here talking about, I put it out on my Twitter, actually, and I didn't get a lot of response, and I thought that was absolutely the same thing. I know, Jamie, I know you did. But I put out on Twitter, everybody batters Serge Aurier, thinks he's absolute shock, he's the worst right-back in the world ever. Right, so let's discuss it. Why? Give me five instances last season where he was shocking.
I don't think it's
there was just there was none. No one come back because there wasn't any. It's a myth. He's not as bad as everyone thinks.
Do you think he should be playing?
I think personally, I would still be going with KWP.
This is another issue. Why is he not playing?
There's a problem there.
It's another problem.
Everybody thinks that he's a red card waiting to happen and he can't do this and he can't defend and this and that, but he's not that bad.
No, but do you think... I don't think Pochettino fancied him. I think that it's very telling that he decided to start Davinson Sanchez, a centre-back at right-back, ahead of him. There's clearly an issue there.
I agree, but the question was... Give me five instances of where he was shocking. And there was only one person that replied. Sorry, I can't give you the credit, buddy, but I know you replied. No one else did. They avoided the question because actually, there isn't five reasons last year why you wouldn't pick him at right back.
See, what worries me, Lee, is all these little problems.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And there is lots of little problems
then erupt to a very big problem.
Yeah, lots of little problems make a bigger problem. We're going to be talking more of those problems, but it is the international break, and maybe is this a time to sort some of those problems, and what is the fix needed?
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Lee McQueen, Jamie Brann and Chris Callan. And as I'm sure you heard, the conversation is still kicking off. Even when we're not here, it's fiery. Three different opinions. The debate never stops. We are talking, there is negativity surrounding Spurs at the minute. Will we sacrifice top four for a trophy? It's all up in the air.
Charlie, can I just ask?
You can, mate.
Why do you do you see, as you know, from somebody looking inside of Spurs, like from an outside perspective, well, how do you see the club? Because we're emotional about it, do you know what I mean? Like, we're like, but what about you? Like, how do you see it as a journalist? What, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm someone that I love history. I love, like, the history of clubs and, you know, but I also think you should focus on the now present. I think Spurs are a very, very big club. They're a great team at the minute. They went on a fantastic run last year. It was detrimental to their league form. I do agree with Chris on two counts. One, I think that you have to focus on the trophies. From my own supporting team, I think, I was brought up wanting to win any trophy, no matter how small. And I hate it. If the romance is lost, the magic is lost, I would always celebrate a League Cup win, an FA Cup win. To me, it's a trophy. I don't care for this...
Audi Cup.
Chris calls it a young mentality, but this whole top four brigade, I'd rather win a trophy. Top four is not a badge to wear. And secondly, I just think that the time for Tottenham was to attract players and spend now. But if I am sitting outside, looking inside, I understand what you've said, Lee. He had three targets. They got three targets. They broke their transfer record. There is a balance. You can't get everyone. And as Jamie says, Tottenham 2.0, it's not going to be done in one window. I just think that Tottenham now, while the iron is hot, needed to strike as that iron cooled a little bit from the season. Now the window's closed. I'm not so sure. Well, I don't know if that answers your question.
Can I just say, at the end of this season, Toby Alderweireld, Jan Vertonghen and Christian Eriksen could all walk away for nothing.
And they've won nothing with the club, so I don't think it's an issue.
You don't think that's an issue?
No, because I think that, there's a clear need for a rebuild.
Three players who you would put in the starting 11
I think to lose three at one go is an issue. But it's a small issue. But I just don't think that this group of players are the right
group. I think
it's
a big issue.
Well, I think, as I said, there is a clear need for a rebuild. And as you said, you talk about always focusing on the now. I think for Spurs, we're still trying to get to this level. This is our first full season.
But you're rebuilding again, Jamie. When you're getting three players like that leaving all at the same time.
He did say it was a painful rebuild, didn't he?
You are rebuilding big time. It's like starting over again.
Because they're now at an age where they are, 31? They're going to be 31, 32.
Ferguson did a lot of rebuilding.
He was a master at rebuilding.
But the difference is he won a title and then he'd go again.
You know what I mean?
So people didn't realise. But, the jobs that he done at rebuilding, if the manager, if he can get you to that level, I believe he can. And he's openly admitted there's a rebuilding job on. It's not going to be done in one window, I don't think.
Do you think that Jan Vertonghen and Alderweireld have got, how many years do you reckon they've got left in them at the top? At the top level?
Another couple?
I think they're very close to being done. They're nowhere near the level of Man City centre backs. They're nowhere near that. Okay, that's not true. They're not that close to being the level of Manchester City or Liverpool's. So I think that it's not.
What about Arsenal's?
Well, just
lightening the mood, lads. Lightening the mood, listeners. Hey, talk to me.
So yeah, for me, I think as you say about always wanting to be in the now. I think for Spurs, we're trying to get to that level of being a major club.
It's like we said off air, right? Would you? There's no guarantees in football, so it's maybe a bit silly to say this, but I'm silly, so I'm going to say it anyway. Wait another 3 years, patient. I know we've got to wait more time, got to go through some more pain, but wait 3 years and have a glut of trophies after that period. Where Adrian was talking about earlier, the turn of the decade happens, and all of a sudden we go trophy after trophy after cup war and get a double, win a league, whatever, or take an FA Cup win now. Wait another 10 years for another trophy. 100%. Like, I'm not saying that you have... I'm just using that as a scenario because actually, that could happen. I believe in Pochettino. I believe in Daniel Levy. I believe in the stadium. I believe in the legacy. Don't worry, guys, girls. I'm not going to start singing. But I do believe. I believe in all of that stuff. And that's what we need to do. We need to get behind the team and believe in the fact that we can go on and win something. And if it is a Carabao Cup...
We all do believe this. We all do believe it, but there needs to be more money spent.
I think you can't spend money now, Chris.
The mentality needs to change. The door's shut. Get over it. Right? Let's get over it until January. Let's spend some more money in January. But for the next four months, let's focus on winning football matches.
In January, all three players who are due to leave at the end of the season haven't signed a new contract by January. What do the club then do? What should the club do?
If you're asking me what I would do if I was a club, I wouldn't play any of them. 100%. If they are talking to foreign clubs and signing pre-agreements, no chance. Like Aaron Ramsey, no chance in hell would I be playing
so
Aaron Ramsey.
You would jeopardise our push for top four.
I would play.
You would jeopardise us winning an FA Cup or a League Cup, and you wouldn't play them.
Well, yeah, because the future of the club is more than these players.
Exactly, we laugh at Arsenal.
You can't do that.
Out three players who are in your starting 11, no matter what the game is. Big Champions League game, whatever. If a game you want to win, those three players are in your team and you're just going to take them out.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they weren't in my team. I mean, look, if you're asking me, would I have played all three of them if I know that their contracts are up and they don't want to be there, then I wouldn't either. And I said this last week, if Christian Eriksen has said to us, he don't want to be here, he shouldn't be nowhere near the football pitch rather than the bench.
I disagree.
Well, no, but that's fair enough, but he shouldn't be.
It should be your best. It should be the best team, and Christian Eriksen is in there.
But if if he wants to leave and his heart isn't in it and he don't care, what you're saying to the rest of the squad is, you're not good enough because I'm still playing Christian Eriksen.
Well, if he wants to leave, should they still have be desperately tried to sell him, isn't it? And instead of not let him go on a free?
But how do you know that they haven't tried to sell him?
I think they have tried to sell him.
How do you know they haven't? This is all speculation. How do you know that Daniel Levy has been flogging his guts off to Real Madrid and Barcelona and Juventus? How do anyone know that Juventus and Christian Eriksen and Dybala ain't a deal that's happening in January?
Yeah, but if you took them three out now, it would leave a huge hole and a huge quality hole as well.
And I think that's probably one of the reasons why Pochettino's so grumpy, because he can't leave them out while they're at the club.
Yeah.
And actually, he can't bed in his new the replacements or
yeah,
the people that he's got.
Yeah, but this is my point. This is what I've been trying to make all night. This is the golden era of Premier League football for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club under Poch, right?
Yeah.
The best Premier League football we've ever played since the 1992-93 season started. And it's so important.
It does
summer.
Sound a bit of a mess, doesn't it?
It is so important. Unfortunately, it is the international break this weekend, but the drama never stops. But don't worry, next week we'll be trying to put it right on the Spurs Fan Show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Thank you.